Dripping down science. The Naked Scientists.
This week, connecting your brain to a computer.
By imagining moving my right hand or my left hand, as soon as the computer accumulates enough evidence about the fact I'm really willing to perform right or left, then a command is delivered and the robot turns, for instance.
Plus nuclear fusion, self-repairing batteries, and is nitrogen the next bad guy of global warming? Hello, I'm Chris Smith, and I've just returned from the AAAS conference in Washington, D.C., where I met some of the world's top scientific brains, including running into a man with wires stuck all over his face.
The recognizer interprets my muscle movements. Therefore, I can talk to you by simply mouthing words. Do you have any questions?
Can you now introduce yourself for me? Say who you are and tell us what it is you've actually developed that we've just been listening to.
My name is Michael Wand, and I am from Karlsruhe Institute of Technology, which is the largest research institution of Germany in southwestern Germany. The system you've just been listening to is a system for silent recognition of speech. And what we do, we put little electrodes in our faces. This technology is called surface electromyography because it captures the myo signals, the muscle signals, from my face. And from these signals, we can retrace what has been said.
So the computer is recording the electrical signals coming off of each of the muscles as you speak, and it's working out based on the pattern of muscle activity what you must have said.
That's exactly right. So the signal, which one can actually see on the screen, is fed into a statistical recognizer, which recognizes the pattern of the muscular activity and can retrace what was said.
So you must have trained this to recognize the pattern of movements you would make when speaking. So if I took the electrodes off of your face and they're decorated all around your mouth, picking up all the major muscles, I presume, then it wouldn't recognize what I was saying in the same way as it recognizes what you're saying.
That's correct. This system is geared towards me. If someone else wanted to use it, it would require a few minutes of recordings just to adapt itself.
Oh, it's quite quick then. You can train it relatively fast.
That's true, yes. The systems we present are based on about 5, 6, 7 minutes of training, which actually works quite well for a sort of limited vocabulary. The more training data I put into the system, the better it gets. Our best system, which we didn't bring today, takes about 45 minutes of training, which is akin to a conventional speech recognizer, which you can buy in a shop. And that recognizes about 2,000 words. So it's not quite as good as a traditional speech recognizer, but it's perfectly suitable for communication without actually being heard.
Now, it's interesting because you're from Germany, but you're speaking to me in English. So you've trained this in English, presumably.
Yes. We've trained the system in English because we are a very international institute and we came here to Washington, D.C. just to present it. It's in principle not a problem to adapt such a system to any other language. It would just mean essentially changing the dictionary of pronunciation, telling the system how German is pronounced, and then probably retraining it because German has got different sound patterns than English. And then it works for, well, any other language, French, Spanish, whatever you get.
Who do you see as using this? Who is this targeted at, or what sort of market would this go into?
So right now it's still a research project since we are a university, but there's a huge body of interest from one side, from those people who have lost their voices. There is a quite large group of larynx cancer patients out there, and they can usually move their mouths quite normally, but they lack the sound source because their larynx has essentially been cut away. And these people are very, very eager to get their voices back, and there's a huge interest for them for using the system, no matter what it looks like. It's going to look much better in the future, of course, but they'd certainly be willing to use such a system. Another market would be really having a system which is a bit nicer, like a little electrode headset which you can just put on. Then I might use the system, for instance, to augment my cell phone, and then I could just use it when I get a phone call and I'm in a meeting just to communicate silently.
So no more shouting on trains.
Exactly, yes.
The only problem I can see at the moment is that it does make you look rather strange.
Well, currently we are working on different kinds of electrodes together with our cooperation partners from industry and from science, and they are going to look much different in the future. Right now we are looking into electrode technologies and multi-electrode technologies, which might make possible to use much less electrodes and get a much better signal, which would also improve accuracy and make the system more robust. And what we might use is a system where I put on a kind of headset, which looks just like a normal microphone headset, and nonetheless contains electrodes. I can see this in about 2 to 3 years' time.
He took the words right out of my mouth. That was Michael Vand. He's from the Karlsruhe Institute for Technology in Germany. And if you want to see what he looks like, there's a picture on our Facebook page.